There was a summer when I asked people in the congregation in Dillon to take me to their sacred places. There were lots of mountains in those sacred places. I received a call one day from Peggy, who is one of the bosses, I would say, at Arapaho Basin. And she calls and says, "Come on over to the basin. I want to take you somewhere. I've got something to show you." So I went over to Peggy's place at Arapaho, and she has a great big huge truck that the basin uses in the summertime to get up to the up on the mountain and repair the equipment and so forth. So we get into this four-wheel drive truck, and she starts to take me up this very narrow winding road that goes up to the top of the mountain. Bumpy, of course, filled with holes, of course, lots of rocks, really hard, took a while to get there. And then we climb up to the top and we get out of the truck and we stand at the top of the Arapaho Basin where you can see the entire range, or you think you can see the range of mountains going for miles on end. And then she tells me a story. She says, "This has become a sacred place for me because there was the day when I went to work, the day we call 9/11, when I went to work as usual, and in the morning I got a call from my husband. He said, 'Turn on the television.' So I turned it on at the basin, and all those who were working that day gathered around the TV," she said. "We watched with shock and horror the events of that terrible day. And we looked and we looked until we could look no more. And then we turned off the television and looked at each other. And somebody said, 'We need to go to the mountain.' And so we got into our trucks and we climbed that road and we came up here to the top. And we stood at the top of this mountain and we stayed there," she said, "I don't know how long. It could have been hours in silence, just looking, just gazing, staring and staring around us." She said, "It put things into perspective." "What perspective?" I asked. "It's hard to find words for it," she said. "You just know it. That there's a wisdom, a vast wisdom that holds us all." Mountaintops are places of getting things into perspective. Seeing the big picture, finding your place in the universe. For one mountain is often in a range of mountains, and they go on and on into spaciousness. And when you go up a mountain, you go up through many diverse ecosystems. So you see the vast range of plants and animals on the way. The scale is large when you are small. It's the size of things, the view, wide and spacious, and yet also you can go deep as you climb up and go down. Mountaintops are places that are often quite unpredictable. You start the climb in the hot sun. By the time you get to the top, you need a fleece and a hat and gloves. Sometimes it's sunny, but most of the time it's not. It can be windy. I've been at the top of a mountain in an electrical storm, very scary. The clouds can come in, create a fog, and cover your way so you can't see out. The tops of the mountains are places that are out of our control. Mountains are holy places. Many people of this world have built a life of man-meaning around mountains. Take the Navajo people, for example, our neighbors. Their lives are surrounded by the sacred space of the mountains. And mountains are important places for all people. Scripturally, we have mountains in our tradition as a metaphor for God's meeting, God's encounter with us. Where does God meet us but on the mountain? For the mountain is the highest space. It is the thin place where one stands, closest to heaven when one is on earth. It's a place of illumination, a place of connection, the intersection of earth and sky, highly charged atmosphere, a place of danger, excitement, and awe. We have stories in our tradition. Moses, you remember? He goes to the mountain to talk with God. And there he receives the Ten Commandments, takes them back to the people. It changes their life together, blessed to be a blessing for the sake of the world. Zion is the mountain of God that Jerusalem is built on. The dream of the mountain in the midst, God coming to the midst of us and building a city on that mountain together. Jesus often left the road and the crowds to go to the mountaintop to pray. And then in our gospel today, we see that he is seen by his followers transfigured on the mountaintop, a moment when they recognize the glory of God in Jesus. So see here, the text is telling us, go to the mountains and get a new perspective on who God is and who we are. And the new perspective isn't only about the mountain itself. For we can go to the mountain internally, in our imaginations, in our journey and connection with God. It is a journey of seeking, to come to discovery. Often called the pilgrimage journey, the walk of faith. One summer, that same summer, by the way, Pastor Carl Walker invited me to go on the annual pilgrimage of Lutheran Church of the Holy Cross in Vail. They take this pilgrimage every July. They climb up an old pilgrimage path from the 1930s. People used to bus up from Denver and go up to it. And they would take this path on Notch Mountain. It's very strenuous, very difficult. And you get up to Notch Mountain, sit up there, and look out at the Mount of the Holy Cross as the final spot, and then you come back down. Now, people in that congregation have taken that journey for years, every year. One woman said, I go to the mountain to put everything else back in place. Sometimes, she said, it's really good to feel small. To get perspective is to get placement. Where is our place in this world? Where do we place ourselves in relationship with God? One of the most intriguing things to me about the mountain as a place to meet God is that the mountain doesn't come to us. We have to go to the mountain to find perspective, to rediscover our place. The mountain to me means effort, work, climb. But you may ask, where is the grace in this? We know God comes to us in grace. God comes to meet us in grace. Where is grace on this mountaintop? Oh, grace is there. But sometimes we have to go. We have to make the effort. We have to long for it, desire it, seek it, to find it. And let's face it, sometimes we get used to being the center of our worlds. We get comfortable with everything coming to us so conveniently, so easily. We get comfortable having people want our attention, our vote, our money. They come to us for the status we have, the ownership. We get used to having things come to us, and we often put God in that lineup. So when we hear of a God of grace who comes to us, we can say, oh, sure, God. Yeah, just give me some time here. Let me fit you into my busy schedule. Oh, sure, God. I'll fit you in, but I've got so many other things to do first. And when I hear myself saying that, I know that it's time for me to go to the mountain. To go to the mountain with awe for the magnificent way of creation. Go to the mountain with wonder for all that is mysterious and beyond us. Go to the mountain to tremble with fear and excitement for what is yet to be. Go to the mountain with curiosity for all that is unknown and not easily accessible. Go to the mountain with humility alongside a God who knows us more than we know ourselves. Go to the mountain with a God who is active in ways we don't even comprehend. Go to the mountain with an open heart for the diversity of life, the differences, the things that are strange to us. Go to the mountain to get new perspective on the meaning of grace when a God of all creation, large and vast, comes small to meet us. Go to the mountain and be filled with love for the people and the world that God loves, that God embraces. When we go to the mountain, our lives are turned to put God at the center. And when we head back into our world, it is with new perspective and new placement and new energy. Let's go. Let's go to the mountain. Amen.
Again, opportunities for open space time for you to participate as you feel led.